Greetings of grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God our Father, from our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Our text for this, the sixth Sunday after the Epiphany, is taken from St. Paul's first letter to the church at Corinth, the 15th chapter. We will read verses 12 through 34. That's 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verses 12 through 34. Where we read in the name of our Lord. Now, if Christ be preached that he rose from the dead, how say some among you that there is no resurrection of the dead? But if there be no resurrection of the dead, then is Christ not risen? And if Christ be not risen, then is our preaching vain, and your faith is also vain. Yea, and we are found false witnesses of God, because we have testified of God that he raised up Christ, whom he raised not up, if so be that the dead rise not. For if the dead rise not, then is not Christ raised. And if Christ be not raised, your faith is vain. Ye are yet in your sins. Then they also which are fallen asleep in Christ are perished. If in this life only we have hope in Christ, we are of all men most miserable. But now is Christ risen from the dead and become the first fruits of them that slept. For since by man came death, by man came also the resurrection of the dead. For as in Adam all die, even so in Christ shall all be made alive. But every man in his own order, Christ the first fruits, afterward they that are Christ that is coming. Then cometh the end, when he shall have delivered up the kingdom to God, even the Father, when he shall have put down all rule and all authority and power. For he must reign till he hath put all enemies under his feet. The last enemy that shall be destroyed is death. For he hath put all things under his feet. But when he saith all things are put under him, it is manifest that he is accepted, which did put all things under him. And when all things shall be subdued unto him, then shall the Son also himself be subject unto him that put all things under him, that God may be all in all. Else what shall they do which are baptized for the dead, if the dead rise not at all? Why are they then baptized for the dead? And why stand we in jeopardy every hour? I protest by your rejoicing which I have in Christ Jesus our Lord, I die daily. If after the manner of men I have fought with beasts in Ephesus, what advantageth it me if the dead rise not? Let us eat and drink, for tomorrow we die. Be not deceived. Evil communications corrupt good manners. Awake to righteousness and sin not. For some have not the knowledge of God. I speak this to your shame. Amen. Let us pray. Most gracious and almighty God, thank you so much for your word. And thank you for giving us so great a gift in the resurrection of your Son. Let us not have that faith diminished, but keep us ever steadfast in your word. Sanctify us in the truth. Your word is truth. For Jesus' name's sake, amen. So even as our brother Paul says, it's not really the sixth Sunday after the Epiphany, it's Super Bowl Sunday. And you understand how dominated we have become by the secular universe. You know, we operate within a sphere that has lost the majesty of God. We've really come to the point where our understandings of things are so clouded by what goes on in the saeculum, by what goes on in the world, that that which is truly magisterial has been lost. And that really isn't much at all. A bunch of guys throwing around a hunk of leather has become like this marvelous thing. And this is why Paul says, when he speaks to the Corinthians, and thank goodness, and I hope that he doesn't have to say this to us, that he's putting us to shame because we don't believe in the resurrection. But that's what he had to say to the Corinthians. He had to say to the Corinthians, he says, there's people that are actually wandering around in your midst that don't really understand the reality of what Jesus has done. They don't understand that death for you is done. It's not that you're done. You're not done in because of death. But rather, just the opposite. Death is done in through Jesus Christ. That you now have eternal life. That this has been given to you because of this resurrection. It's the power of this resurrection, he says. This is really the key. He says, so, how can it be? How can it be that in your midst, he's talking to the Corinthians, and he says, how can it be, knowing that we preach the resurrection of Jesus Christ, that some of you say there's no resurrection, and you live in that way? Now, that's really the distinction that we can come to, you see, because we live in a different way. When we have entered into Jesus Christ, we live in a different way. We understand that life here is transient. This is not our major existence. We aren't going to live here for that amount of time. We're going to live here for a certain set of amount of time that we believe that God has given us to live here. And then after that, we're going to live with God forever. So we sit here and we look and we figure out what becomes important to us. So often when we look at what's important to us, it ain't, It's not really that important. And this is what Paul is really trying to say at the church at Corinth. Don't you understand what we're talking about? Jesus Christ has risen from the dead. He's risen from the dead. And as a matter of fact, you are risen with him. He's raised you from the dead. He has brought you out of the language of death into the language of life. He has brought you out of a realm full of sin and destruction and death. And he has brought you into the glory of his grace and into the power of his kingdom. The God that we preach is no longer distant from us. He's not floating out in the ether someplace. He has come to us. He dwells with us. He lives within us through the Holy Spirit of God. Doesn't that make you at least smile a little bit? Doesn't that make you happy? You see, this is the point of what he's talking about. No matter how you root in the Super Bowl, some group of people is going to wind up happy. Some group of people is going to wind up sad. Some people are going to lose a lot of money on it, which I think is kind of nuts, but they're going to do that. Some people are going to be invested in all these sort of things and think that this is really, really major. And you know what? Tomorrow it's going to be all over. That's it. That's all there is to it. It's all done. And people are going to sit. They're going to argue about it. And it's going to be hilarious because you're going to listen to all these people argue. Well, they should have done this and they should have done that. They'd have been smarter. They'd have done this. And it's like, yeah, okay. Right. What a pile of nonsense. We're raised from the dead. Yeah, I mean, we've been raised from the dead. We cannot die. We're not given permission to die anymore. All that's going to happen is our physical body will cease to function, but we don't have permission to die. We're not allowed to die. Yeah, we live. We live. We live. And we're going to worry about a football game. Oh, my gosh. You just got to sit and think sometimes. You look and you think, we do this with God. We look at God. God's got to look at us and just go, I just don't know. I don't know. I don't know what greater thing there is I can do. I gave him eternal life. And they're worried about a football game. See, this is what Paul was talking about. And he put it in very, very strict terms, very, very strong terms, actually. And I don't want to do that to you because that's not fair. You know, I know that you believe. I know that you believe in this resurrection. But he's saying, do you understand how foolish this is? He says, do you understand how foolish it is that there's people amongst you who are thinking that Jesus is not risen from the dead? He says, if that's true, he says, then everything that we have to say is empty. He says, it doesn't have any value. He says, we don't have anything to say. He says, and as a matter of fact, we're found to be really liars. He says, we're lying about God. He says, first of all, we're lying about God. And then secondly, he says, and we're lying about the testimony of God. He says, because we're running around telling you that God raised Jesus from the dead and he didn't. He says, so if you wander around saying there's no resurrection from the dead, then he's saying that you're calling us all liars, and as a matter of fact, you're calling God a liar. And he says, and if it's true that Christ hasn't been raised, then the whole faith that we talk about makes no sense whatsoever. He says it's absolutely senseless. And he says this amazing statement, he says, because you're still in your sins. And that's a very important thing to realize. Through the blood of Jesus Christ, by the power of his resurrection, you are no longer in your sins. Your sins have been taken away from you by the Holy Lamb of God. They have been taken to the cross. And the Lamb of God laid down his life on that cross for you. And that's why Paul says, do you recognize this contrast? He says, of what you receive in the world compared to what you receive in Jesus Christ, the world locks you in your sin. You understand in today's world there's no grace for anybody. You understand why most good people won't run for office or anything anymore, because there's no grace for anybody. There's no grace. There's no grace. And if they can't find dirt on you, they make it up, because there's no grace. Paul says very clearly, I want you to understand, this is the contrast. This is the way that we live. We live in a world where there is no grace, or we live in Jesus Christ where there is this abundant grace freely poured out, freely given by the power of his death and resurrection. He says, aside from that, he says, we are of all people the most miserable. He says, in this world, it's only in this world we have this hope, he says, then we are pitiable. He says, we're to be pitied because we've been really fooled. We really didn't get it. We really missed. But I love, he says, but honestly, he says, Christ has been raised from the dead. He says, honestly, he has been raised from the dead. And he's become the first portion. He became the first one to rise from the dead for us. So that in him, he says, we understand all of those who have fallen asleep in death have not died. They're alive in some state or another. We can't understand it. We don't really know. You know, people will speculate all the time about what that's like, you know, and Luther always called them, that's a theology of glory. It's like they've already gone to heaven and come back to tell us what it's like. You know, and we don't know. We don't really know. But we know that they're with Jesus, and they're in Jesus, because Jesus is risen from the dead. And that's the whole point that he's trying to stress. Jesus is risen from the dead. And he says, and it's through a human being that death came. In other words, through Adam. Death came, and it came upon all people. He says, but also in a human being came the resurrection, because Jesus became us. He became human for us. God joined us in our humanity. And he says, for as in Adam, all die, and we don't have to figure that out. You know, we don't have to, you know, everybody will tell you all the things. There's always two things that are inevitable, death and taxes, you know, and things like that. Death is always right in there. It says very clearly, as in Adam all die, in this way also in Christ will all be made alive. And I've told you this many times, you know. There's a lot of people in this world, they don't believe that. It doesn't matter whether they believe it or not, you know. There's people that will say, well, when I die, you know, I'm just going to go back in the earth and I'll complete the nitrogen cycle and things like that, you know, and stuff like that. And they say that, and I hate to tell them, you know, in the last day, and I always use this analogy, it's like putting a Pop-Tart in the toaster. You know, you put the Pop-Tart in the toaster, and when the toaster says that it's time for you to come out, up goes the Pop-Tart, and that's exactly the way it's going to be at the end. Doesn't matter what you think or whether you believe in the resurrection or not. On the last day, up you go. That's it. Because in Christ, you have been made alive. And you are either going to spend that eternity in Christ alive in the fullness of this, or you will live in eternal death. And this is what Paul is really talking about to understand. This is the reality of things. Is to understand this tremendous gift that has been given to us in Jesus Christ. That God, by his grace, through the blood of Jesus Christ, has reconciled us to God. So that Paul simply says, as he says in 2 Corinthians 5, he says, be reconciled to God. He says, so we're begging you, be reconciled to God. Just acknowledge God, what he has done. Because God wants you to live. And that's precisely the whole point of everything that we talk about. See, God wants us to live. God gave us Jesus so that we would live. So that we would spend our times in our earthly sojourn, not just fending off death. You know, like we understand, and I tell you all the time, for 4 easy payments of $19.99 a month, you know, in some way or another, you can fend off death. You know, if you take this, if you do this, you know, if you do this thing, you know, this thing like this, then you can fend off death. And you understand, that works because so much of our energy is dedicated to fending off death. What if we honestly believe that we just live? And that's what Paul is talking to us, and that's what he's saying. Do you realize through the gift of Jesus Christ to you, you can just live. You can live. You can go to sleep at night. You can sleep at night. Because the God who created everything that is keeps you preciously in his hand. Watches over you all the time. And as a matter of fact, you are so dear to him that he gave you Jesus. He gave you Jesus. And you really think that a God who gave you his own son is going to like turn his back on you or forget you? You know what he speaks about Israel? He says, how could I ever forget you? He says, you're graven on my hand. He says, you're graven on my hand. You're graven in the palm of my hand. You realize very clearly you're graven in the palm of God's hand. God keeps you. You are etched there forever. And you are always with him, always in him. And that's what he's talking about. He says, do you understand? He says, this is what he's going to do. He says, on the day, he says, all of this is going to take place in order so that you understand the first portion is Christ. Then it's going to be Christ's people that is coming. Then in the end, he's going to deliver the kingdom over to God, who is his Father. He says, and when he does this, he says, he's going to bring every leader, every right and power to rule to an end. For only he will reign. He says, only he will reign in the end. And he'll reign as king until he puts all enemies under his feet. And he says, and the last one that will be brought to its end is death. Because death cannot have us. Death is overcome through the blood of Jesus Christ. Death is overcome by the power of his resurrection. There is no fear of death in the Christian person. We understand very clearly the power of the resurrection. Death has an end. The power of the resurrection never does. The king reigns, and he reigns forever. And it says, when he's made all things subject, it's clearly shown, that's except the one who made subject to him all things. He says, when he's made subject to him all things, then the Son himself will be made subject to the one who made subject to him all things, so that God will be all things in all things. It's one of the greatest statements of all time, and I can't even begin to tell you what it means. I don't know. I don't know the fullness of it. You read the church fathers, neither did they. It's one of the greatest, most mysterious things ever said in all the scripture. We don't understand what it means, but we do understand the reality of it. It says very clearly, when Jesus Christ has brought all of this to a close that he created and he brings it to its full restoration, he says everything is going to be restored to perfection in God. And everything is going to be found in that way. All things, in all things, God will be God of all and reign over all. And he makes this great statement. There's actually people that do this. They actually baptize people for dead people. This isn't what he's talking about. Really, he says otherwise. He says, what will they be doing, the ones being joined in baptism on behalf of the dead? What he's talking about is Jesus. You remember in Romans 6, he says this, do you not understand? When you've been baptized into his death. He says, what are we doing if we're running around baptizing people in a dead guy? He says, that didn't rise from the dead. He says, that wouldn't make any sense, would it? He says, why are we baptizing? Why would I baptize you if the guy we're baptizing you for is dead? You know, that makes no sense. And that's all he means by this. He says, if dead people aren't raised at all, he says, then why be joined in baptism on behalf of them? He says, why would you be joined in baptism with Jesus if he's dead? And what he's saying here is, do you really understand what you're saying? You people who wander around saying there's no resurrection, do you realize how foolish this is? Because as a matter of fact, he says, then the only thing that you've got to look forward to is death. And that's not true. He says, you can look forward to life. And that's why he makes this great statement. People try to turn this around and use it in all sorts of weird ways. It's actually pretty simple. He says, why then are we ourselves always in danger? He says, every day I die. Now, what he means by this isn't some like pious thing he's saying. What he means by this is, I don't know if I walk out the door, he says, if the people who hate me are going to be out there with a crowd of people and kill me. He says, I don't know what's going to happen if I walk out the door, if there's not going to be a group of Roman soldiers out there that just kill me. He says, I don't know what's going to happen. He says, I don't know what's going to happen. He says, every day I die. What he means is, every day I go out the door. Says, every day I go out the door. Says, I go out the door. Why? Because they can't kill me. They can't kill me. Even if I die, they can't kill me. He says, I'm going to live because I'm alive in the power of Jesus Christ. And he says, every day I die. He says, but I have a right to brag about you. He says, I have a right to brag about you, fellow believers. He says, I can brag about this because I've held fast to the resurrection. I've preached this to you so that I can walk out the door. I'm not afraid to walk out the door. I always bring out this story when my first wife was killed in the car accident. One of my students called me up, and he said to me, how are you doing? And I said, I'm fine. And he said, you better have said that. You told us for years that we need to understand the power of Christ over death. Yeah, you bet. We're fine. My first wife is fine. Death has no power over us. It can't. It can't. Because we do not have the permission to die. We have the permission to live, and we've been given the right to live. So what do? We walk out the door. It's like somebody said once, well, you never know what could happen. You could get hit by a bus, you know? I mean, you never know what's going to happen, you know? You could have space stuff fall on you now and kill you for crying out loud. Somebody's asteroid or satellite or something up there could break into pieces and kill you. I mean, there's all sorts of reasons to not walk out the door, but we walk out the door. Why? Because we know the power of the resurrection. We're alive. We're alive. And the grace of God keeps us alive. And that's why Paul says, if with respect to humanity I fought wild beasts in Ephesus. He's talking about Acts 19 when he had to go into Ephesus. And you remember he got in a lot of trouble there, you know, and they wanted to kill him and all that kind of stuff like that. He says, if I did this, he says, what help is that to me? He says, what does that matter, he says, if the dead aren't raised? He says, what does that matter? He says, why would I keep going through this stuff if the dead aren't raised? And then he says this great thing, quoting out of many, many of the Greek philosophers and other people. He says, let's eat and drink, for tomorrow we die. So there we have the Super Bowl. See, we come back full circle. Let's just eat and drink, you know, and because, man, our future really hinges on who wins that game. The reality of things is, Paul says, stop being led into error. He says, stop being led into error. Bad company ruins good morals. He says, when you've been given the right understanding of things, don't you understand what you let your mind wander off into, it corrupts it. And before you know it, he says, your peace is taken away. And all of a sudden, you can't sleep at night. Your peace is taken away. And all of a sudden, it is the old fears that creep up. Because once that's eroded, he says, all of these old fears come back. He says, and everything makes us afraid. Then he says this great thing, and this is, you know, I'm reading this as it's translated from Greek. He says, sober up. You just gotta love that. He says, sober up. He says, it's time to get your mind in the right place. Time to get your mind clear and understand very clearly. He says, that's only right. He says, it's only right for you to live this way with your mind cleared. And stop sinning. He says, stop sinning. Now you understand, when we talk about sin, usually we look at stuff that's out there. We talk about sin, you know, we like to externalize it and we talk about it and all those sort of things. Paul says, stop sinning. What he means by this is stop putting your mind in the wrong place. You need to understand the triumph over death in Jesus the Christ. Now, I'm not saying you can't watch the Super Bowl. You know, that's not what Paul is saying. He's not saying any of those things like that. But you can't enjoy those things or anything. What he's saying is, but your mind needs to be in the right place. You need to really understand what's significant in this life. You need to know and realize the grace of the living God and the power of that resurrection in your daily life, so that you understand Super Bowls are going to come and go. All of these different sort of things are going to happen. All of those things will take place. But you are a child of the living God, purchased in the blood of the righteous Lamb of God, who now has been given eternal life. And by the power of that resurrection, you need fear nothing in this world. Now, by the grace of God, by the power of the indwelling Holy Spirit of God, you get up every day and you know that you are a child of God and you know that you are alive. And when you go to sleep at night and you say your nightly prayers, you go to sleep at night knowing You have been saved by grace, and you are a child of God who has been washed in the blood of Jesus Christ. And you go through that cycle every day, understanding very clearly that one day you will close your eyes and they won't open on this earth. But when you open them again, you will be alive like you have never been alive before, because everything has been given to you in Jesus Christ. Bad company corrupts good morals. It destroys us. It takes us away from this. And Paul says, don't do that. He says, don't do that. He says, stop sinning. Don't be given over to that. He says, sober up. He says, because there are some people that do not have this knowledge of God in this world. And he says, and I'm saying this to humiliate you. And we think maybe people shouldn't do that. But Paul says to those people that think that way, he says, I'm saying this to you to humiliate you so that you will realize how foolish it is and you will repent and you will come to the knowledge of the truth, because that's what all of this is about. What we want in this world is for people to come to the knowledge of the truth and be saved. We want them to be able to acknowledge the gospel of Jesus Christ and know the power of that. And the greatest testimony that they may ever see is us. Because you see, if we're just cowering in fear of death, then what do they see? But when they know that by the power of the Holy Spirit, we have this tremendous power over death. As a matter of fact, we have this tremendous assurance from God that death may not have us, that our sins are gone, that we are free through the finished work of Jesus Christ. And they recognize that boldness and that confidence. Then they see a different picture. And they wonder, well, how can you be that way? How can you be that way? And then we have our opening because of the finished work of Jesus Christ. Let me tell you about Jesus Christ. Let me tell you about the resurrection. Because Jesus Christ died for you. He paid the price for your sin. And Jesus Christ is summoning you by his grace. You just come. You just freely come. Says the door is open. It's freely open to you. You just come. You just come. Because God has put up no barrier for this. Because God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. And whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. And somebody's going to hold that up in the end zone, I hope, today. They'll hold up John 3:16. And I hope we all remember John 3:16. For us, he did that. That we would be counted the children of God. That we would know his peace and live our life that never ends. That never ends. Washed in the blood, pure in his sight, through Jesus Christ our Lord, the power of the resurrection. The power of the resurrection. For Jesus' sake, amen. Let us pray. Most gracious and almighty God, who can even imagine such a gift? That in your goodness, in your kindness, you gave us Jesus, your only begotten Son. And he gave up his life for us, yielded himself as an atonement for our sin, that by his blood we would come freely to you, cleansed, pure. Father, we pray this day, even once again, that you would bring that fullness and that assurance into our hearts. As we go through the balance of this day, that, Father, we would recognize and know the thing that really matters above all things is the finished work of Jesus, the power of that grace, the power of his resurrection. And Father, that we would be your witnesses in this world to minister the same to everyone around us, that assurance and that certainty of knowing we are alive because you so loved us. We pray, Father, that that love would be shed abroad into the heart of everyone this day and every day. And that indeed, Father, you would reign in every way until that day when we see you face to face and we see the fullness of that reign, when faith becomes sight and our understanding knows no bound and the joy unspeakable fills our hearts for eternity. Glorify your name, Father, for Jesus' name's sake. Now may the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, the communion and fellowship of his Holy Spirit be with us all, now and forever. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.